around the world and across the UK on digital and online. I'm Richard Foster, and we're up all night. Just three words for you this hour. Let's talk tech. If you're wondering about which gadgets to buy, having problems with your existing kit, we'd just love to hear from you. Get in touch now. You can text us on 85058, email upallnight@bbc.co.uk. We are at BBC Five Live on social media, and the lines are open as well, 0500 909 693. I'm looking at the console we've got in front of us, and the lines are already ringing, which is a great sign. The tech phone has become so popular, it's now 50% longer. We're going to be carrying on this till about 3:30. And so we're for the next hour and a half, and I'm delighted to say we are joined by Fevzi Turkalp from GadgetDetective.com. He joins me now. Hi there, Fevzi.
Morning, Richard.
Hi. Just wait for the music to die down. There we are. It's been and it's gone. How are things in tech? How's it all looking this week?
It's all looking very good, but you do realise I will now be speaking 50% more slowly.
Okay. Were that possible? But it's good to get clear answers out, at least, because there's loads of stuff going on. Of course, we had a few emails. We'll get to the calls in a little while, but I've had an email as well. First of all, that's really caught my eye because it affects me, and it probably affects thousands of people, possibly millions. This is all about Orange closing their email services, and so for example, I've still got an old @freeserve.co.uk email address that I've had probably since 1995 or something like that. And it's still going, but it's going to be closed down. Can you just give us the latest on which addresses are going and why they're going and what people can do next?
Well, look, I mean, I think the thing to say about this is that this sort of thing happens, and it sort of gives us the clue as to what we should be doing. And, if we now have to change our email addresses, what should we change them to? And the key answer to this is not to change it to something that is specific to a provider. So the best way of doing this is to get your own domain name, frankly, and then use, Orange or whatever underlying email address there is, but then point it to that one. So you publish the one. So let's say, in my case, I own Gadget Detective, so mm-hmm. I can have fevzi@gadgetdetective.com. But underneath that, I may use, Gmail. For example, but if Gmail decides to shut down that account or that name, I can change the underlying email address, but I never have to republish it because I'll only ever publish the Gadget Detective one. And if anything changes under the hood, as it were, then you don't need to worry about it. Having an email address which is linked to something that you don't own is tricky. It's okay if you own email, with one or two close relatives or something like that. But otherwise, particularly if it's a business email, I never cease to be amazed that, you see even, moderately large businesses still using, Yahoo Mail or something like that. Mm-hmm. And one, it makes them look a little bit unprofessional, but also it makes it difficult for them. They invest money in that email address. It's on signs, it's on literature, it's on all sorts of things, or even personal emails. You don't want to have to change, send out email addresses to loads of people. And the other problem is, you probably have used that email address to register with potentially hundreds of web services that you don't even remember what you've registered with now, but could come back and cause you a problem. So the key to it is to get your own email domain name. You can register that it does cost, a few pounds a year, but you can do that. You can get something that will make your email more novel and potentially look professional if that's what you're looking for, but then just route it through any underlying email service. You don't have to pay for your own inbox, as it were. You can still use Gmail or whatever else, and that's the key. So for those people that are using Orange email addresses and are having them taken away from them, then if you're going to have to change to something that's a little bit more future-proof. Get yourself a domain name.
I think Orange themselves are recommending Gmail, and that's quite an easy setup as well, isn't it?
It is, and you would hate to think that Google would mess about with that. But I mean, having said that, Google are past masters at closing down services that people love and or changing them in some way. They do it fairly routinely. They don't. Their view of it is, you know, it's free. At least you don't pay for it. You pay for it with your personal information, but that's another story, I guess. But you know, if something that they're doing doesn't make them money in the short to medium term, they just shut it down. They're quite, harsh about these things. So, my answer is by all means use a Gmail address if you want to. The pros of a Gmail account is that their spam filter is almost second to none, I would say, of the sort of public spam filter. So I know people who will sift their email through a Gmail account just for that reason, because the spam filter is so good. The downside is that Google scan the contents of your email, or at least their artificial intelligence bots scan the contents of your Gmails. They do it for, you know, ostensibly innocuous reasons of being able to target advertising at you, but it is a little bit disconcerting that you email a friend and say, you know, let's go on a weekend away, and then you start getting adverts for weekend breaks in Paris or something. So
yeah, absolutely,
that's not ideal. But then that's what I mean by it's not free, you pay for it with your data.
In my case, it's prams. It's things like that. I'm about to become a dad for the first time, which is brilliant.
Excellent.
But I'm getting just all the adverts on the side are now for prams and for gyms and things like that. You know, I go to the gym reasonably regularly, but I think the internet world wants me to get there a little more often, which I suppose is a fair point. Let's go to the calls. You're calling us now on 0500 909 693 for all your tech questions between now and 3:30 with Fevzi Turkalp. Brian in Milton Keynes. Hello there, Brian.
Hello there.
Hi, I understand you're having a problem syncing information to your tablet computer.
Well, I think the tablet's involved, but I'm only a silver surfer, so it's Fuzzy's got to, it might be mother's milk to him to sort this one out, I think, but it's driving me a bit crazy. Can I give the what's happening?
Yeah,
sure,
go ahead.
Brian, go ahead.
Right, basically, I'm running all Windows. I've got a laptop running Windows. I've got the old Nokia Lumia 520 starter smartphone. And then recently I've got a Lynx tablet, Lynx 1010. So they're all synced up lovely. But I'm a street pastor and I just come in from feeding the homeless where I live. This is typical. When I come in, my Wi-Fi won't link up. I've just got a standard talk server on Wi-Fi. Then I have to go into settings, and my amongst other local spots, mine comes up. So I tap on that, comes up, and then this message comes up: 403 forbidden. Your client does not have permission to get URL/CGI. BIN/wizard/wizard, etc. Self-help from this server. Then I've got two options, skip or cancel. I hit skip and it links up and everything's all right. Every time I come home, this happens. And it seems to coincide with syncing up this Lynx tablet.
Okay, so Brian, so if I understand it correctly, you've got a Windows laptop, you've got a Nokia Lumia 520 phone, which is a great phone,
that's
by the way.
T3, yeah.
Windows mobile phone. And then you've got a Lynx 1010, which...
Windows tablet.
Which is running, as I say, which is running Windows as well. So when you get that message, what that's telling you is it's trying to go to a web address that... The people who provide that website don't want you linking to directly. It may be a part of the website that is completely barred from outside use, or it may be just barred from you linking to it directly. But I think the thing is, what I would do, and just try and understand what that web address is, do you find it's quite a long URL? So it will be...
Well, if you bear with me, I'll just repeat it, Fuzzy. It says, your client does not have permission to get, then it's got URL/CGI, hyphen B-I-N /wizard underscore S-U underscore self underscore help full stop ASP from this server.
Right, okay. So it's trying to get to an actual file within a graphics library, it sounds like to me. And I don't know why your system would be trying to do that, to access a particular file or folder on a server, if all you're trying to do is connect via your Wi-Fi, if I've understood correctly.
Correct.
What I would suggest that you do is, when your Wi-Fi is active and you're at home and you power on your Lynx device, go to the section where it actually shows you what Wi-Fi signals it's currently picking up, and double click on the one that corresponds to your router. At that point, it should ask you, if it hasn't already got it programmed in, it should ask you for the password that is the password that encrypts or scrambles the signal for security reasons. That password will usually appear on the underside of your router. Once you enter it once, it should remember that, and it should lock onto that particular Wi-Fi by default. What you can also do is you can also delete any other Wi-Fis that it may have logged onto in the past, either in error or at another location, again to stop it from trying to default to those.
I've been at this address, and I've used since about 2007. Mm. I've always been with I was with a certain big rival before, but most of the time I've been with TalkTalk. I've never had this problem before, and everything comes up lovely, automatically links up when I walk through the door. Then it picks up, what you normally would pick up on a server.
Yeah. So if you've changed,
I've tried the old dodges. I've turned off the server for half an hour and come back turned it off and turned it on again, and I thought perhaps because before we did have to TalkTalk did say they're doing work on it. It's all genuine. That was a few months ago now.
Sure. But this problem's pertaining.
Yeah,
okay, Brian.
Yeah.
So sometimes these problems occur when you have changed from one provider to another, because
I've been with them a long time.
You've been there
years,
a long
several
time.
Years. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
If the problem persists, and if simply entering, identifying the right Wi-Fi signal and entering the password for it, if that doesn't succeed, then what I would do is I would delete, when you go into that list of signals, I would delete it, I have forget it. It often says, do you want to forget this?
Well, I've got this? No list. All it comes up is my recognition of the server, and a couple of local ones, BT ones.
I understand. Okay.
Mine comes up. I just tap on it. This message comes up. I press on skip, and then everything goes through lovely.
I understand.
It's just an annoying extra manoeuvre. That's all.
I understand. What I would do is use the option where it says forget that one. Forget it, and then
where will I see that?
So in the section you go to where it shows you a list of all the Wi-Fi signals it's aware of at that time. Okay.
Yeah.
Then when you click on that one, it will give you various options, and one of the options is to forget it. In other words, to forget any password.
If I tap on it, it goes through with this message. So
try and right click on it
No, it's a tap because I've got it's a touch screen.
Yeah.
On my phone, this is.
Yeah, I understand. You might be able to do a double tap or whatever it is, or just put your finger on it and leave it till the context sensitive menu pops up. Okay.
Oh,
you should get a little context sensitive menu.
I kind of back it out. I say, what do I do then when it comes up?
I would just delete it and let it recognise it again from the start, because it could
so
be.
So I might
that
need putting my password.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
If you delete it, you will do.
Yeah.
But then what that will give you is a fresh instance of that of that Wi-Fi connection, and therefore this funny business of it trying to go to a cgi.bin folder, will go away.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Windows Lightning operating system isn't perfect, and sometimes, as I say, usually when something is changed and it it hasn't sort of handled the change well, sometimes the best thing to do is delete. And by the way, this is also happens with settings on email addresses. Sometimes when you try and change the settings to an email address and everything appears to be right and you've been through it several times and it still doesn't work, the best way to deal with that again is delete it and start again. Right. And it takes a few minutes as opposed to months and months of, you know, trying to fix it.
Instead of worrying you, I did go into search for it, and this number came up, but not in my situation. So it seems to be prevalent in other situations with people, but I couldn't find one that matched mine or giving the advice that you gave.
It sounds to me like the 403 message that you're getting, it relates either to a service that you're not currently entitled to access, or that takes you to a particular part of a file structure
hacked about a year ago. I was hacked very badly, and that was a nightmare. But I don't. This has happened over a year since then, so I wouldn't connect the two. But you never know. Of course.
When you were, if I may ask you, Brian, when you were hacked, what steps did you take to mitigate the damage afterwards?
I went through. At the time, I was using PC World's service, KnowHow, and they couldn't help because I lost all my emails and so forth.
Right.
So they patched me through or gave me a number to go through to Microsoft support. And I ended up in the Philippines. I won't bore you with details. Mm. Absolutely, hours I spent on the phone. With due respect, it did sort me out in the end. Mm. But because I don't have a friend like my Facebook, I personally didn't have friends. I do a lot of dancing and so forth. So I want messages from my dance teachers and so forth for a group. I only use it for that. And of course, when you try to identify yourself and you're telling Facebook people you haven't got any friends and so forth, that complicated things.
Okay.
But we got there in the end.
Okay. I'm going to hold you there. I just want to give a bit of advice to you and general advice for people who think that they've been hacked.
Fevzi, Fevzi, just before you do that, and Brian, we will keep you on the line. I've just got a bit of breaking news. Of course, we'll be bringing you much more on that story throughout the programme here on 5 Live. Sorry, Fevzi, you were about to give Brian a bit of advice.
So just a little bit of general advice. If you think you've been hacked or your system has been compromised in any way, the first thing you need to do is on a system that you believe to be clean, even if that means borrowing another computer, change the password on your email account first and foremost, because your email account is the keys to the kingdom. And if anyone has access to your emails, because if they have your email address, access to your email address, then they can go ahead and use that to reset all your other passwords. So you know, on your online banking or your online shopping, if you've forgotten your password, or indeed if you're a fraudster and don't know it, then you just click the button that says reset my password, and they'll send you a link to that email address, and then they can reset your passwords on all your other services and lock you out. And that way lies being rather poor actually and upset. So change first of all the password on your email account, then consider changing the passwords on anything that's got payment details on it, including, you know, banking, shopping, Amazon, anything like that. Change all of those one by one. When you've done that, or even before you do that, consider using a password management tool. So something like LastPass or 1Password. These tools do a number of things. First of all, when you're generating new passwords, they help you generate very long, unguessable, gobbledygook-type passwords, and they store them in a vault, which is then itself password-protected. But you say, what happens if that password goes? They have all my other passwords. That's true. That's why you then use something called two-factor authentication, where you don't just rely on locking that vault with a password, a master password, but you also use something else. So, for example, they may have to text a code to your mobile phone, or you may get a little dongle that you have to plug into a USB port. So not just something that you know, a password, but also something that you own, could also be biometric. It could be a fingerprint or you know, retina scan or anything other than just the password. So even if someone ever got hold of the master password, they wouldn't be able to use it because they hopefully wouldn't have the second factor to get in.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. I got an email saying, just acknowledging change of your password, which I hadn't done.
Mm. Yeah. So that's a good indication that someone's accessed your email address.
One of my dance teachers phoned up. She said, there's something funny with your Facebook account, and went on there, and there was a picture there. My teacher said that at the time there had been a married couple murdered or something in Canada, and it was a photograph of them on my account, my Facebook account.
That's terrible.
So, yes. When I was through to, they were very good Microsoft support, and that's what we did. Because I couldn't get in at all, I couldn't identify myself, and they checked for me through with different methods and satisfy ID, and they changed the password and so forth. So,
Brian, just one final word of warning to you. I'm sorry to cut across you.
Yeah.
Just because you're talking about, you know, being put through to Microsoft and ending up in the Philippines, and that can be and probably was quite legitimate in your case, but just really be aware of who you're talking to when you're trying to get problems solved, because often the way that fraudsters work is that they contact you either by phone or email or by some other means and cause a sense of alarm. They'll tell you something like they're your bank and your account has been compromised. They try and cause alarm and then cause you to do something unusual, like go to a cash point and withdraw cash or share with them credit card information, or even give your credit cards to a courier that comes to your door. I mean, it's quite remarkable the extent that people will go to. But when people do get duped in that way, they often end up losing many thousands of pounds. So the key to that is just, you know, have your wits about you. Don't just accept that if someone rings you or emails you that they are who they say they are. If you need to speak to your bank or the police, look up the number independently. Don't take it from an email that they've sent you or don't think that. Sometimes people will ring you and then they'll stay on the line and you think you're dialing out, but actually you're still connected to the original call because they haven't disconnected it. So
it is quite a risk, isn't it? It is quite a risk.
You need to have your wits about you, but also I would recommend a password manager. They're not perfect because they do represent a single point of failure if they get the master password and your second factor. But if you do set it up with two-factor authentication, it actually makes the internet kind of fun to use again, because you can just go surfing from site to site and not have to worry about entering your credentials everywhere you go, because they can be auto-filled once you're logged in.
Fevzi, sorry, I'm going to have to break in with a bit more of the breaking news story we're bringing you here on Up All Night here on 5 Live. In the last few minutes, US media are reporting now that America has carried out a missile strike on targets in Syria. A Pentagon official...